politicians should just stop pretending altogether about caring about debts and deficits and so forth, and just admit they want to buy their way into their next election victory. Maybe that's what they should do, because year after year, Republicans are the biggest offender in this category by saying, "Oh, we're going to control spending, and if we can just get to Washington, we'll control spending." Doesn't happen. George W. Bush spent like a drunken sailor. Donald Trump not doing much better, quite honestly. And in fact, this new deal, adding $320 billion to the discretionary spending because the Democrat mob demands it for us to shore up our military and continue to do what we need to do. Democrats and the mob behind them demanding more money so they can directly buy voters. At least that's my belief. Mark Goldwine, Senior Vice President and Senior Policy Director for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, joining me now. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Where am I wrong in this?
You're not. This deal is frankly a fiscal abomination. They are spending almost $1 trillion more on defense, almost $1 trillion more on non-defense, and they're adding all but $50 billion of it to the credit card.
So $1 trillion more in defense over a decade. Is that correct?
That's right. So this is a 2-year deal that technically costs $320 billion. But the way budgeting works, it basically sets the stage and changes the baseline for $2 trillion or $1.7 trillion.
So this puts us, we're currently at $22 trillion of debt, which in and of itself might be too much. It might be past the point of no return, no way to tell. But I remember the campaign of Donald Trump saying that somewhere around $24, $25 trillion was absolutely the point of no return for debt in this country, because you could no longer find a mathematical way to grow your way out of it. So if that's true, why do we allow ourselves to continue down this path? I've heard this my entire life. We need to control our spending. We need to reel it in. And yet every cycle, more money was spent than last. And they call reducing the increase a cut. That's not a cut. That's reducing an increase. I mean, it gives me a headache, Mark.
Well, I would settle for reducing the increase right now, because what we're doing is actually increasing the increase, and that's absolutely the wrong direction to go. I don't think there's a magic threshold of $25 trillion or $26 trillion, but it is clear that basically every day Congress is in session, we are making this situation worse, and we are getting close to the point that it will just be too politically hard and eventually too economically hard to fix it.
So at some point, we just become a much larger version of Greece, and so all the countries in the world that couldn't beat us militarily or politically will see us destroy ourselves economically.
We could become Greece, or we could become Japan. And look, we don't want to become Japan. 20 years of stagnant growth is no way to live.
Yeah, and do explain that to the listeners that don't understand what you're referring to.
Sure. So Japan is unique in that it has hugely high debt, much higher than any other country, and it hasn't had some kind of crisis moment. But what it has had, it's basically no economic growth since the late 1990s.
And what does that mean? I mean, I see pictures from Tokyo and so forth. It looks like people there live quite well. And so frightening people with pictures of Japan might sure. not do.
Look, they're doing fine, just like we're doing fine now. But the human process is about improving over time, right? Getting access to new technologies, new opportunities, new ventures. And all of that could go away, right? Everyone could continue to have the income they have today, even a little bit higher. But we've been counting on 3% economic growth per year historically, and that is what has kept our middle class mobile, and it is what's kept our economy thriving and dynamic.
Is it fair to say as well that this has been the weakest recovery, if you will, in modern times? I mean, we have not received and been on the receiving end of those 3, 4, 5% GDP numbers that often come with a real recovery following a recession. Of course, we had just a hell of a recession, as we know, beginning in 2008. But our numbers have been, they've not been the 1% that Barack Obama said would be the new normal, but they have been fairly anemic, have they not?
Well, I think what we think of this is it's a stretched out recovery, right? So we haven't had those periods of real burst, but we also are right now in the longest recovery in our nation's history. So I don't think that it's necessarily weak, but I think that it's taking a while.
All right. So as I look at the numbers, I mean, we're looking at, you know, if you look at the stock market and so forth, It's in territory it's never been before. It's at 27,000 plus. I mean, it's in places that are incredible. But the stock market, I say this again, not a great indicator for most people about the general health of the economy, is it?
That's right. I mean, the stock market tells us a couple of things, but it doesn't tell us how ordinary Americans are doing and what kind of take-home pay they have.
It's north of 27,000. Did you ever think you'd live long enough to see the stock market at 27,000? I know I didn't. You're younger than I am, but still, it's impressive. But the stock market, all those investments, retired firefighters, teachers, whatever, that will all take a hit at some point if we don't get our debt under control, because at some point, the notes come due. And if we have a failed sale of treasury bonds, it takes one failed sale, and this could all fall apart, couldn't it?
We don't even need a failed sale. If we just have an interest rate spike, not even a huge one, a couple percent, we could see a mass sell-off of all the treasuries around the world, and that could cause a global financial crisis.
So let me ask you this.
Sort of like the housing crisis, but you know, no one's big enough to rescue the U.S. federal government.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Mark, because this is an important topic that keeps coming up with the president. He says the Federal Reserve, if they were smart, they'd lower interest rates now and save us a tremendous amount of money on the interest that we pay. And that would help everybody. True or false?
It's complicated. If the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates, that would save us a bit of interest, and it probably would give the economy a bit of a boost. But it's not clear that the Federal Reserve's job should be to basically bail out the president's trade war rather than being patient and watching to see how the economy goes.
Yeah, I think that the tariffs have proven to be a mixed bag. They haven't been perfect, but they haven't been the destructive force, I don't believe, from where I stand, that some predicted it would be. And I also believe this president will find a, quote, solution to the tariff war sometime about a year from now. So that by the time we...
Maybe October time.
Well, actually, I think it'll come about 8 or 10 weeks before that, Mark, because that way it'll be great guns going into the election of 2020. And if he makes a deal with China, obviously that would stimulate the economy greatly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I could see something like that happening.
Yeah, I thought that was the play from the beginning. Getting a fight back and forth with China, flex your muscles, tell the world how tough you are, create this skirmish without doing too much damage, and then come back and correct it before we go into the elections. I'll give you the final word on this debt.
Well, something to remember is that we're in a trade war with a country that actually is our biggest debt holder, and they haven't used our debt as a weapon, but they could, and if they did, we could be looking at some really serious damage.
Yeah, we owe money to everybody. We owe money to Japan, Germany, China, Canada, and to ourselves. About $8 trillion is owed internally from department to department. Mark, I greatly appreciate you being here. Mark Goldwine, Senior Vice President, Senior Policy Director for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Quick break on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in and out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life and in every corner of America, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. The Army National Guard reacts to domestic operations in each of America's 54 states and territories, including Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and the District of Columbia. Each state National Guard's unique domestic role is to act as the first line of defense in support of civil authorities in their state. The Guard's emergency responses include search and rescue missions for floods, combating wildfires, hurricane and tornado recovery, and the presidential inauguration. The Army National Guard. We are always ready. We are always there. And in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
IT